400-verse treatise by Aryadeva, chapter 4, indicating methods for ridding yourself of grasping at the body as having an impossible self about which to feel pride. What hallowed arhat in the world would develop arrogant pride, thinking, I am king and this land is exclusively mine. Why? Because all lands are equally used by everybody on them. As a servant of the masses, having been apportioned 1/6 as your wage, what is the reason for your arrogant pride? Whatever is to be done, you have to do that. This comes from your having been appointed under their power. It's vanity for a masterly king to think he's a generous patron when he gives his people what ought to be given, just as it would be for a masterly employer to think of himself as a patron when he gives his workers just their due gain. Others who are wise regard your prosperity and power as a situation of suffering, but you, O king, regard it as the reverse. You, who must earn your livelihood by working to protect others, how can this cause your happiness to grow? As protector of the world, if you feel you can be arrogant, well, to be able to protect the people, even though you're the ruler of the land, you have to be looked after by those you protect. Why then, for one petty reason, do you have arrogance? Why aren't you parted from arrogance because of the other reason, namely that you have to be provided for? Since among all the castes everybody gloats at their own karma and work, it's difficult to find anyone who makes his livelihood without pride and attachment. If, since you share 1/6 of the people's income, you also receive 1/6 of their destructive karmic debts, then for you an excellent rebirth shall be rare. Anyone who must do whatever others demand is known on this earth as a fool, and there is no one else equal to you in being under the control of others' wishes. If thinking, the protection of the people depends on me, you forcefully extract tribute from the world, and in the process you yourself, in fact, commit negative deeds, such as by executing those who don't pay, then who can be equal to this in unkindness? If it were improper to treat criminals kindly, then you shouldn't protect any childish, ordinary being either with kindness, for they've all been naughty. As treating others badly can in no way be a cause for enhancing your own happiness, it doesn't bring this about. Although you may justify killing animals, for instance, for reasons such as it's permitted according to seemingly correct scriptural authority, nevertheless, as it's not something positive, your negative karmic debts will have no end. If it were righteous for a ruler of the land to act with cruelty, thinking, I'm doing this to provide the people with perfect protection, then why wouldn't deluded manufacturers of weapons also become righteous? A ruler of the land, who thinks that the world depends on the ruler of the land for its existence and maintenance, would be looked down upon for his presumptuous pride. The hallowed Aryas, for instance, see that the mother producing the entire world is craving for existence, and not the king. Unless you are an unscrupulous, power-crazed fool, you do not obtain a kingdom. And since such fools have no kindness, then an unkind ruler of men, even if he's their protector, cannot be said to abide in the Dharma. All the activities permitted for a king in the writings of the Rishi non-Buddhist sages haven't been formulated by the most learned ones. Why? Because among these rishis, there are inferior, middling, and distinguished superior ones. In ancient times, the virtuous rulers of the land treated the people like their own children. But the present-day ones, who rely on wartime philosophies, make the land as desolate as a wilderness of animals. If a king weren't to have any negative karmic debts from beating a state enemy when he had the chance, then neither would any other mugger who have such karmic debts from his crimes in the first place. As it's not a proper offering to give away all your possessions for drinks and the like, how can you think it is a proper offering bringing higher rebirth to give away your very own life in a battle? O king, as the protector of the world, you yourself are completely protectorless. As the nature of being a protector is such that with no one to restrain or advise you, you're reckless and do not give up the causes for a lower rebirth, who would be happy to be a king? O king, your fame of being a severe ruler will contribute nothing to your advantage, especially when you die. It will be of no advantage at all. Otherwise, why do those who cook dogs alive not enjoy a great reputation? As it is a fact that having authority over all the kingdom comes from positive karmic force built up in past lives, You can't find anyone who would say, this ordinary subject cannot count on having authority in some future life if he builds up the karma. After all, it's related that castes evolved in this world for all the methods of livelihood that were. Therefore, for all limited beings, there are no truly existing and definite caste divisions from the beginning. A long time has passed since caste divisions were first drawn, and women's minds are fickle, often bearing the children of men of different castes. Therefore, there isn't anyone who is from a definite pure caste who can say he's totally of the royal caste. If activity determined your caste, then even an outcast, by protecting others, should be called a member of the royal caste. And by the activity of reading the Vedas, why shouldn't even an outcast be considered to have become a Brahmin? A king cannot distribute, as he can the material fruits of his authority, his negative karmic debts incurred in gathering this wealth. Therefore, what wise person would destroy his future for the sake of some trivial benefit to others? Those who generate pride over their authority need to look at others who also have power, their equals or especially their superiors. Pride doesn't remain in the hearts of sublime ones who understand in this way.